again, I just want to give kudos to the worship team because they spend the week praying and contemplating and seeking after the Lord for what worship needs to look like for this Sunday. And I don't know that we could have put a better playlist together than what we did this morning based off of what today's sermon is. And the title today is Trust the Lord with Everything. And is that not one of the hardest things that we could ever do? And I need you to hear this. There's not a single thing that you are facing right now that is too heavy for God. There's not a single thing that you are facing right now that is too heavy for God. Not a single one. The hard thing about trusting God isn't that He can't handle what you're facing. It's that we keep trying to handle it for Him. How many of you are doers? When you see something, you got to fix it. When you think you can fix it, you got to try to fix it. There's only three of us in this entire room. That's what I thought. Let's go. And so the hard thing is that we try to keep it to ourselves. We try to take care of it on our own. And I know that for some of you, trusting God right now might feel impossible. It might seem like you can't do it. And it's not because he's not able to do. And it's not because you don't believe that He's able, but because the thing that you're trusting Him with is the thing that is most important to you. It's the thing that matters most right now in life. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Job. Has anybody heard of Job? Job is his story is brutal. If you've read through Job, he has a brutal story. But here's what I'll tell you about Job. Job was a good man. He was a faithful man. And the Bible says that he feared God and turned away from evil. He was doing everything right. But then, everything fell apart. He lost his kids. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. Literally, there's a point in the story where he's sitting in the ash, scraping sores off of his body in a despicable moment of just the lowest of lows. He's scraping sores off his body. You know what his lovely wife tells him to do? She comes out and she says, tells him to curse God and die. Men, if your wife ever says that to you, call me. We will set a meeting very quickly. She was so supportive that she said, curse God and die. His friends show up and basically tell him that you must have done something wrong to deserve all of this that you're walking through. And even in the middle of all of this, Job says something that just stops you cold. And before Alicia and I left for our cruise, I intentionally spent the week like doing ministry, and not doing ministry like I'm prepping my sermon, I'm making sure we have plans in place, I'm looking at the future events, I'm planning sermons out. I went to people's homes. I talked to people on the phone. I spent all of Monday, Tuesday, and part of Wednesday being with people. And the common theme that came out of this is that we have to trust God with everything. So this sermon is kind of born out of not anybody's story, but just the sense and the heart behind, we have to trust God. And here's what Job says that just, I think that if any of us said this, like, I don't know that I could say this. Here's what he says. Are you ready? Job says, though he slay me, I hope in him. Think about that. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Not if he fixes this, I'll trust him. Not if he explains himself, I'll believe him. But he says, even if it cost me everything, I will hope in him. And church, I believe that that displays a real trust. That displays a trust that we should work towards, and the kind of trust that holds when nothing else is going right and you cannot see how this ends. And if you want to go read that, that is Job chapter 13, verse 15. And just to be clear, Job said this while he was still hurting. He was still confused and he was still waiting. He was walking in the middle of everything that he was going through, and nothing made sense. Is anybody in that spot this morning where nothing makes sense? And he still chose to trust God. So some of you might need to make that your prayer this morning. But because this is our Proverbs sermon, Solomon has given us solid advice of a path to get there, to where we might be able to say, though he slay me, I will trust him. So if you have your Bible this morning, open it with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Keep your finger there because we're going to move throughout a few passages this morning. We've got one more week after this in our Proverbs series, and I'm excited for what's next. But who has it enjoyed the Proverbs series this summer? I've heard a lot of people say that it was good for them, and so I appreciate that. The Lord knows what he's doing. He knows what he's leading us to. He knows what he's trying to teach us, what he wants us to hear from him. And so if you've got your book, if you've got your Bible open to Proverbs chapter 3, we'll be there in just 1 second. The first thing, and I want everybody to know today, let's say that together. Can you read what's on the screen? You are not in control. All of you control freaks, how did that feel hearing that? Kind of painful, isn't it? But that's the truth of it, church. You need to understand that you are not in control. And so let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, and it says this: Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Solomon isn't telling you to stop making plans. If you just heard, I don't need to plan anymore, you're hearing it wrong. He isn't telling you to stop caring about your situation, but what he's doing is he's telling you where to put the weight of it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not part of it, not just the parts that you can't figure out, all of it. Listen, you were never designed to carry the weight of being God. You were never designed to carry the weight of being God. You can plan. We can all make plans, can't we? We can pray. We can all do that. You can obey. We can all do that. But which one of us can control the outcome of those situations? Nobody. We can't do that. And so when you try, what you're doing is you're taking on a weight that was never yours to carry in the first place. That's when you find yourself lying awake at 2 a.m., running through different scenarios in your head, trying to control outcomes that we can't control or fix what only God can actually fix. And after all of it, we're just as stuck as what we were when we went to bed the night before. Just as scared and maybe a little bit more worn out because we were up at 2 a.m. worrying about something we didn't need to worry about. Go ahead and turn now to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and we're going to go back to, well, we'll hang on to that for a moment, I guess. Proverbs 16, verse 9, and it says this: The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. There's nothing wrong with planning. I just want to reiterate that. There's nothing wrong with planning because here's what happens. Wisdom plans. Wisdom plans. Arvin, you're just the first farmer that I saw in the crowd, but Dal, you could speak to this too. How many farmers are planting their crop in the fall? Why not? It doesn't work. How many of you are buying seed in the winter for the next spring? Why? Because wisdom plans. Joel, I guess you're our newest farmer in here, aren't you? Have you bought your seed yet for next year? When does that take place? Huh? December. He's a planner. If you're like me, you decide one day that you're going to plant a garden and you run out to the greenhouse and you buy the seed and you just do it the same day. It's not how it works. Wisdom plans. But ultimately, what we need to understand is our lives are in God's hands. And if you don't know that or don't believe that this morning, I need you to hear it and I need you to understand it, because he is the one that directs us. He's the one that redirects us, and he's the one that closes doors and opens others. The Lord holds us in his hands, and it is him alone that can accomplish his purposes, even when the road looks like nothing that you had planned to be on. Is there anybody in the room that can testify? See, we live in a broken world. The world is broken, and broken things happen. What we need to understand is God is not the author of evil, but what we need to understand is that he hasn't abandoned you in your pain either. He doesn't leave you in your pain by yourself. He is sovereign. He is sovereign in the middle of what you're walking through. He is sovereign in what you are facing. And there is nothing you're facing that is beyond his ability to redeem, to restore, or to use for his purpose. So if you came in here this morning feeling broken, feeling unsure about the path that you're walking on right now, maybe you made some really dumb choices recently and you're paying for that choice today as you sit here, you need to understand that you are not too far gone, that the Lord is unable to redeem, to restore, or to use you for his purposes. Do you hear me this morning? That was an invitation to respond. Guys, I hope that we understand this. I can do the theatrics and make it a little bit funny, but do you understand the weight of what I just said? You are not too far gone that he can't redeem, restore, or to use you for his purpose. And I say praise the Lord for that. Because if I am too far gone, then there is no hope. And we can have hope because he does not fail, ever. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, and this says it pretty plainly for us this morning. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose. All right, let's talk about this real life. I was going to go to Indian Hills for 2 years. I was going to then go to Iowa State. I did go to Iowa State. I went to Iowa State, and I was going to get my degree in animal ecology. I was going to move out to Wyoming, and I was going to be a wildlife conservation officer. Those were the plans. I was told to have those from like seventh grade all the way up, because that's what they focused on and pushed at that time. I am not in Wyoming, and I am not a wildlife conservation officer. I am a pastor in New Sharon, Iowa. And I'll just tell you, when we were out in Wyoming, has anyone been to Yellowstone? Who all thought the park stunk? No, it stinks. All the sulfur. You just drive in and you get hit with sulfur in your face. I told Alicia, I said, I don't think I could have been out here doing what I thought I was going to do. I don't like the way it smells out here. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So it's not your plan, it's his purpose, and his purpose is bigger than your circumstances. It is bigger than what you're carrying today. It is bigger than the thing that keeps you up at night. That doesn't mean that everything that happens is good. There are bad things that can take place. It means that nothing that happens is bigger than him. It doesn't matter if it's good or if it's bad, but it's not bigger than God. Nothing, church, nothing catches him off guard. Nothing puts him in a position where he's sitting on his throne in heaven and says, I don't know what to do with this. There's not a single thing that would catch him in that way. And so if God is God and I am not, if God is God and I am not, what does trust actually look like? And Solomon would keep going in Proverbs 3 and he would tell us, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Honor him with what you have. In other words, Solomon is saying, trust him with all of it. Trust him with your decisions. Trust him with your plans, your future, your finances, your obedience. And you don't have to understand. How many of us like to understand and know the outcome before the outcome comes? Come on. You don't have to understand everything. And you don't have to control everything. Your job, my job, is to put everything in his hand and let him take care of it. Church, you are not in control, but the one who is has never once failed. Knowing God is in control matters, but so does knowing that he hasn't left you to figure it out on your own, which leads us to our next thing that I want you to know this morning is you are not on your own. If you're out here and maybe the church seems distant, maybe you're walking through something and you kind of feel like you're walking it all alone, I need you to know you're not on your own. It's not because I know everything, because I don't. If you don't tell me, I don't know. Psalms 23:4 says this, even though, and this is David, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Notice what David doesn't say here. He doesn't say trusting God means you'll never walk through the valley. No, what he says is, when I walk through the valley, you are with me. Just from talking from a few of you, there are some valleys that are being walked through right now. There are some challenges that are taking place in life. And I know that some of you would rather have an explanation right now. Why am I going through this? I want an explanation. You want God to tell you why. Why did this happen, Lord? Why hasn't this changed? I've been praying about it for weeks. Why did this plan fall apart? Some of you might even be asking this morning, why am I still here? And sometimes God doesn't give us the explanation you're looking for, but what he does instead, he gives us himself. See, David knew that he wasn't walking the valley without the Lord. Proverbs 3:11-12 describes God as a father who delights in his children. The God that I'm saying put your trust in this morning isn't some distant God who's moving pieces around on a board. No, instead, church, I need you to understand this morning, he is the most perfect father. He is your father. And listen, I'll admit, there are some times that I myself don't understand God's hand. Is anybody else? Do you understand God's hand all the time? There are times that we walk through and we go through things and we don't understand God's hand, but here's the hope that I have is that I can trust God's heart. I know that he's going to see me through, and because I'm not walking through situations on my own, I can actually take what I'm carrying it and I can put it into his hands to carry as we walk through the valley together. If you have your Bible, turn it to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. And it says this, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Now, I have a sign hanging over in my house. I don't know what version it is, but it says, whatever you do, commit it to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And the key word here is to commit it. To commit it. Don't hand it to God and then take it back an hour later. Who knows that patience is a virtue? Anybody? Don't trust him on Sunday and start panicking on Monday. Do what God called you to do and trust him with what happens next. Because here's the truth, you were never designed to carry this alone. You were not designed to carry this life all on your own. God didn't save you through Jesus and then leave you to figure out the hard stuff by yourself. That wouldn't make any sense, would it? He is with you in every situation. And that's why you keep bringing the weight back to Him. That's why we continue to bring the weight to Him. And it's not because we're weak. It's not because we're giving up. But it's simply because we now recognize who can actually carry the weight. And that is God the Father. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, "Draw near to God." Does anyone know what that second part is? "And He will draw near to you." Near to God. And He will draw near to you. Church, this morning, you need to understand you are not on your own. This morning, we started with Job, and I want to go back to Job for just a moment. When Job said, "Though he slay me, I will open him," he still didn't understand what God was doing. He had no idea what the Lord was doing or what was going to happen next. Nothing had been fixed yet in Job's situation. Job grieved, he questioned, he wrestled. Even in Job 23, he even talks about looking for God and not being able to find Him. And you might be in that very spot this morning where you feel like you've been searching for Him and you haven't been able to find Him. And this is what makes Job's trust so powerful. He didn't trust God because he understood. He trusted God while he didn't understand. Trust doesn't mean you don't have questions. Trust means you know where to take your questions. And Solomon just told us, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, even the ones that hurt, even the moments that are painful to walk through, the ones that don't make sense, the ones where you have prayed and the answer hasn't come back the way that you asked. Has God ever answered your prayer differently than you thought He would? Come on. You keep bringing them back to Him. It's when we stop carrying the weight of trying to control everything, we begin to discover that God really is enough. His strength doesn't run out when your circumstances get harder. His faithfulness doesn't change when the season lasts longer than you expected. He is still God. He is still sovereign. Whether you understand it or not, He is. And He is still God when you don't understand it. And sometimes the miracle that we're looking for that isn't that God immediately takes you out of the valley. Sometimes miracle is discovering that you were never actually walking through the valley alone. See, there's some hard things that some of you are walking through right now. And I would submit to you, if you've been trying to do it on your own, it's time to turn it over to the Lord this morning. He's never left you. He's just waiting for you to hand it over to Him. And so maybe your miracle this morning is to discover that He was walking beside you the entire time, that you are indeed not alone in this. Joel or Stacy, whoever's coming up. One of the movements of our spiritual journey here at Engage Church is to belong to Christ. We want everyone to belong to Christ. And belonging to Christ means that I'm not trying to be Lord over my own life anymore. It means that my plans belong to Him. My future belongs to Him. My family belongs to Him. My fears belong to Him. Even what I walked in carrying today, did anybody carry something in here today? Anybody? Come on, there's a few of you. Maybe you walked in here today carrying something and it belongs in His hands. It's choosing Jesus again and again and again and to say, "Jesus, this is yours." And I'll tell you, church, He's happy to take that weight. He's happy to grab it and to walk with it. Engaging our community for Jesus requires people who know how to trust God in hard places. And you might be in a hard place this morning. What our community doesn't need is Christians who never struggle. They need to see that we struggle. They need people who know where to go when life gets heavy. And church, where do we go? to Jesus. But before we can show them what some of us, before we show them that, it's the very thing that some of us need to do ourselves this morning. And that's come to Jesus. The burden that you may have walked in with today, listen, you do not have to walk out the same way. Not because your situation's going to change as soon as you walk out of these doors, you leave the building and situations change. No, it's because you don't have to carry it alone. So church, my question to you, what are you carrying? What are you carrying that you shouldn't be carrying? What weight have you taken up and put on your shoulders and decided for yourself, I must carry this? Who in here is losing hope by the day because the weight is so heavy to carry that you don't know that you can bear it anymore? Jesus is waiting. He is waiting for you to hand it over to Him. And I don't care if it is the silliest thing. I told Joel this before worship. And maybe this will be a good cue in for what happens next. But when you think about worship, there's two different things that I would say. There's singing, and then there's worship. And when I look at worship, and I say, what is this? Worship comes, and I'll just call it extravagant worship, right? There's worship, and then there's extravagant worship. Extravagant worship comes from a place of somebody who can look back and see where they came from, what the Lord has pulled them out of, what He has worked in their lives, what He has changed, what He has redeemed and restored and used them for a purpose. And all of a sudden, when I realize that this is where He has brought me, my voice might be a little bit louder. It might be out of key. You'll have to deal with that. But extravagant worship comes from a spot of knowing where the Lord has brought me from. And some of you this morning need to take that weight and you need to give it to Him, so you can experience that opportunity for extravagant worship, because He is worth it. Every single time, He is worth it. So whatever it is that you are carrying today, I plead with you, do not leave here without giving it over to the Lord. Can I get an amen? If you would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Before I think that we respond to that question and we take that action, you might be here today and you've never taken time, or you've never surrendered, rather, your life to Jesus. You've never realized that it's about giving your life to Him and trusting Him with the circumstance, trusting Him with the situation that you are facing, that you are walking through. The Bible says that our sin separates us from God, and we can't fix that ourselves. That's why Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sin, and in 3 days He rose again. And today, that offer still stands to receive forgiveness and new life in Him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, if you're ready to stop living life on your own and to surrender your life to Jesus, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that is you this morning, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Is there anybody in the room today? Praise the Lord. So now, church, we're going to come back to that question. Is what weight are you carrying? What is the thing that you've been trying to control that you need to put back into God's hands? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your marriage, your kids, your finances, your health, your future. Maybe it's something that you've prayed about over and over and over and over, and nothing seems to be changing. Here's what I've learned. You don't have to understand what God is doing to trust him. You don't have to understand to be able to trust the Lord. Job didn't. Job said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. So this morning, here's what we're going to do, church. We're going to make room to respond. We're going to give some moments of response here. If there's something that you've been carrying and today you find yourself saying, God, I don't want to control this and I can't control this, or God, I don't understand this, but I trust you with it, would you be so bold to come? Would you come to the altar and give it to the Lord? Church, you are not in control, but you are also not on your own. This morning, come and trust the Lord with everything. Thank you.